Hello and welcome back.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Yes. We hope you had a lovely Christmas time and New Year. This is actually been 2 weeks since we've done a podcast, since we released a podcast, and since we recorded one.
It literally feels like so long. I feel like we've forgotten what to do.
Yeah, me and Courtney today were setting up all of the bits and bobs, and we ended up having to go back to Courtney's house because we forgot the laptop. We then had to like run back out to the car like 100 times. So we're just all over the place. I feel like it's currently, as we're recording, it's that time in between Christmas and New Year that you just don't know where you are.
No, like, I feel like no one knows what's going on.
No, it's just a very strange time, isn't it?
And no one knows what to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm bored or enjoying it. I'm not sure.
I'm definitely bored.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe more dinners then.
Yeah.
Should we go and eat more?
Yes, please. Let's go out.
Because that's all I've done for the last few weeks, by the way, is literally stuff my face. I can't believe how much I've eaten. It's actually disgusting.
So I feel like we should give you a bit of a rundown on our Christmases because it's been a bit traumatic, if anything, for Chloe anyway. So Chloe, let's tell everyone what happened to your Christmas.
Well, I mean, I feel like everyone's heard this story because everybody knows someone that got locked in with COVID for Christmas. So I basically went to see the pantomime in the London Palladium and had afternoon tea with my mum. It was like our annual Christmas night out. And this was on the Tuesday, so it was the 21st, was it the 21st of December? Went out, felt absolutely fine, not a problem. Was with my mum, went to the theatre, we saw a matinee. And then when I got home that evening, I was saying to George, oh, I feel like maybe, you know when just like you kind of swallow and it feels like maybe your throat hurts, it's like the beginnings of your throat hurting. So that started, and then this is really awful, but then didn't think anything of it. You know what it's like, you're just in denial when it's yourself. And it was only a little bit as well. It was just sort of when I swallowed, it hurt. So I just thought nothing of it. And George was like, actually, mine feels like that a little bit too. But sure, it's nothing. Sure, it's just been where we've been like overdoing it, burning the candle at both ends and, you know, drinking a lot recently because it's Christmas, going out a lot. So just didn't think anything of it. Went to Tesco's, was a super spreader. Went to Tesco's thinking nothing. We got like our food shop, our dinner that night. Got in bed that night and I could not sleep. I was up all night, had the worst sleep because my mind was so active. I was like worrying that I had it. I was worrying that I had COVID. It was very strange.
Like everyone has this like, anxiety like if they've got it.
Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It's like when you send off for like an STI eye check and you're like waiting for it to come back, making sure it's negative. When it's negative, you're like, yes.
Yeah. That like horrible feeling.
Yeah,
it was like that. And at this point, it was clearly my body telling me that I had it, but I really had no idea. I didn't know, but yeah, I just had it. My brain was so active and I couldn't sleep. Woke up the next morning and George was supposed to be going to work. And I said to him, I've had a terrible night's sleep. And he was like, oh my God, so have I, how strange. He's like, yeah, I was worrying I had COVID as well, which was really strange. We were both doing exactly the same thing, didn't even know. We didn't have any lateral flows in the house because they are like gold dust these days, cannot get them anywhere. Didn't have any lateral flows. And so George was like, I'm in an R room, whether to go to work, decided not to. Then I still couldn't sleep, but I just felt awful. I felt like exhausted, my body ached. And at that point, I kind of knew. I was like, okay. Kind of definitely know. So we went and got a PCR and it came back the next day that we were both positive. So my Christmas was cancelled. I was supposed to be going, my mum lives in the country in Suffolk, and we were supposed to stay with her, and I was really looking forward to it. I was really excited because obviously last year was not a good Christmas either. I wasn't with any of my family. So I was really excited and the whole thing was cancelled. So it was just me and George at home on Christmas Day. We did our best and we cooked, you know, well, I cooked a Christmas dinner, and we just kind of watched TV all day. But in the morning, I think I had maybe 4 breakdowns. I just kept crying. Like I made myself a croissant in the morning and I was just heating it up in the oven, and George came out and I was like pretending to just like look at the croissant in the oven. And he was like, are you crying again? I was like, yeah, I was really upset and I was really, really down. I think that the whole, it wasn't just that I was missing Christmas. I feel like, I mean, I know that you agree with me on this one. I just feel like I've had a really rubbish year, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it just kind of encapsulated the whole terrible rubbish year that I've had. And I just thought, for God's sake, like, of course it's like, now my Christmas it's like, is cancelled.
Yeah, and everyone like, always looks forward to Christmas, and Christmas is always, that's a nice time of year. You go and see your friends, you go out, it's like quite a happy time of year.
Yeah.
And like, it was the thing that we were both looking forward to after having such a crap year. Yeah. And it's just like, you were just locked inside.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. It was awful.
But all my plans got cancelled over Christmas because all my friends had caught it. I wasn't going out because I was scared to catch it because I didn't want to stay in Christmas Day. So I was being extra careful. So I wasn't even going out anyway. And I was so bored.
Yeah.
I'd isolated myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but, yeah, you were at home, weren't you, a lot of the time? Yeah. No, it was just rubbish. And like, because this year is out of all of the years in my life, I've struggled more with my mental health and stuff this year. And mentally, I've struggled. And so, yeah, and it just, and then on Christmas Day, and I was just at home, and you know, I was very lucky. It's hard, isn't it? Because you have to like think of like the positives, but it's very difficult when you're in that situation. But you know, I was very lucky. I do live with George, and he was also positive, so we were together. Like, there are people, some of my friends were sitting at home on their own. Yeah. They live on their own.
Some of my friends were on their own.
Exactly,
in their
like
flat.
No family, no partner, nothing. So I have to, you know, be thankful. And we were together, and you know, I wasn't very super ill or anything. I just kind of had like a bit of a cold. The first day my body was hurting and I was in bed, but after that it was just a cold, and you know, I was fine. So it's just one of those things.
I know,
isn't it?
It's just so annoying.
Yeah,
like, but obviously, so with my Christmas, I always do it split between mine and Callum's house.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Callum's got nieces, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So it's nice.
So my family made everyone do a lateral flow test before they came round on Christmas Day. Luckily, we were all negative, we were all fine. So we had a really nice Christmas at home.
Yeah.
And then I went over to Callum's and like opened presents there. But like, I'm such a giver. Like, I love giving presents.
Yeah, you do, don't you? That is a very you thing. And you love watching people open presents as well.
Yeah, I literally love watching people open them. I'm like, I'd just like to see what everyone gets. But not like, I'm just to be nosy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you are like that. Courtney's the person that texts you like in the morning, like, what did you get? What did you get? Like 8 in the morning. What did George get you? What did your mum get you? But yeah, no, I still haven't even seen my mum either, because now my, I ruined my mum's Christmas as well, because obviously I was with my mum at the theatre and the day that I felt like I got it. And so then the rest of my family didn't want to see my mum in case she had it, even though my mum is still testing negative. All this time later, my mum's still testing negative. But my stepsister, who lives with my mum, has now tested positive. So she tested positive on the day that we came out and are negative. So now I still can't see my mum. It's
so annoying. It's just like a tumble effect, isn't it?
It's just annoying. But, you know, it is what it is. I have my health, and I was very lucky to be with George. But, yeah, after, like, my fourth breakdown in the morning, I got showered, I washed my hair, I put on like a Christmas outfit that I was planning to wear if I went out with my family and stuff, I cooked Christmas dinner and I had a glass of wine and I felt a little bit better. And then we were really, really lucky that really lucky, it sounds awful, a group of our friends actually all had COVID too, so we had a bit of a COVID Christmas gathering on Christmas Day evening. We all had COVID, we were all like testing like absolute like solid two thick lines on those lateral flows, and so we kind of ended up being together, so it worked out okay. Like, it was okay, like we all had each other. So I spent Christmas Day, Boxing Day, the day after with all the same people, because we were all had COVID, and we're all out of it now, which is good. But yeah, we had some people, so it was better than others.
I feel like it's literally got to the point where like I just want to get it to get it over with.
I know,
like I it's just a waiting game for me now. It is literally a waiting game for
me. I feel
me
like
to catch it.
Basically everybody we know has had it. All of my loads of my friends are still in isolation.
I literally think there's only about 4 of my friends who haven't had this new variant yet.
Yeah, it's rife in London, isn't it? So
I know.
Well,
I'd rather just get it and get it over and done with. Give it to me, let me isolate for 7 days, and then I am over it, and then I'm protected for 90 days.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I was saying to Courtney. I feel safer now than I did at any other time, because I've had it now. I don't even mind, like, if I was like be with somebody that's got it, I'm not even fussed, because I feel like you're not supposed to be able to get it, are you, for 90 days?
And I'm the one that's on like tiptoes, like, ooh, yeah. I can get it any time now.
You should have just come and hung around me for a few days, got it and got it over.
No.
We might as well have had it at the same time, and then
I know, but my mum had it, didn't she? And I was like around my mum, and I never caught it. I just think it's the luck of the draw.
It is. It's the same as my mum. She was with me and George, and she just still tested negative. It's mad. Touch which carries on testing negative, but Yeah, it's just one of those things. It was a little bit rubbish, so obviously we couldn't record our episode last week. That's why we skipped
because it was funny because we were actually meant to record it that day when you tested positive. Yeah. So I was like, thank God.
Yeah, I didn't.
You got the result back before we recorded.
Yeah, it's true. And we were going to do like a Zoom one, like me on Zoom, but yeah, I'm just not very tech, like good on tech stuff. Like, I'm not sure if I would, you know what I'm like. I'm not sure if I would like be able to set up the laptop and sort it all out. I don't know. I know that sounds pathetic. I'm supposed to be like young and couldn't, but I'm just like a technophobe or whatever it's called.
Yeah. That was our Christmases.
Yes.
And we put out a question box on our Instagram, which was basically questions that you want to know about us, which we are going to answer today. So we've chosen three questions each that we're going to answer.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of them are kind of we can both answer pretty simply. So let me do. So here we go. Here's we get asked this one all the time, and I'm not sure. Have we talked about how we met on this podcast before?
Yeah. No, Yeah, maybe right.
Me and Courtney
beginning.
Tell this story so often that I'm not sure if we've told you how we met or if. I'm not sure. And I feel like we've mentioned it before, but we can give like a roundup. Basically, Courtney, we had a mutual friend, and Courtney, we actually met in this building that we're in now.
I know,
I feel like
how
we have
crazy
talked about
is
this.
That?
I feel like we have talked, because I feel like I remember
probably
saying that.
I think right at the beginning, but it's just a question that everyone likes to know.
So this building that we record this podcast in used to be a club, actually, and it's not anymore. It's a restaurant, but it used to be a club. And Courtney saw that her boyfriend that she had just broken up with followed me on Instagram. And so I get a call one day from our mutual friend, and I said, and they said, oh, my friend Courtney has seen, she's just broken up with this boy. She's really upset about it. She's seen that he's followed you and she thinks that you're his type. is there anything going on? And I was like, no, I'd just broken up with George, who I'm with now again. I've just broken up with George. I'm really heartbroken about it. No way. Anyway, we end up coming to this club one night.
And I think Courtney, it was Amber's birthday.
Maybe it was Amber's birthday. Yeah. So Courtney came up to me and was like, she was like, I'm really worried that you were talking to my ex that I've just broken up with. I'm really heartbroken. And I was like, no, I'm so heartbroken right now. All I want is George. And so we kind of like bonded over the fact that we were both heartbroken. And
then I'd sit at home and I'd send Chloe messages with like quotes every day. Yeah. That's how I knew, to get over our breakup.
Yeah, that's when I knew Courtney was the one. I was like, yeah, she's a good friend. She took my number that night, and because we were like bonding over the fact that we were like crying and heartbroken, I worked for my dad at the time, and I was in like an office. I'd sit in the office and Courtney would send me all day like quotes, like heartbroken quotes.
How to get
quotes.
Over a breakup.
Yeah, like how to get over a breakup. And that's just how we became friends, really, wasn't it? That's how me and Courtney became friends. I think it's quite a sweet story.
I've still got you saved under the same like thing under what I had when I met you. I just done it as Chloe XXX because I didn't know your surname. So I just done Chloe XXX, and that's what you're still saved under on my phone.
It's crazy. All these years later, eh?
All these years later. That's and now cute. Look.
Now look. Now we're doing a podcast upset. Who would have ever thought, honestly, that us two of us sitting down there heartbroken, crying in the corner.
And
like
we're
young.
Actual strangers as well.
Like actual strangers. Yeah, like a good, like, what would we say? Like 9 years ago or something, man?
Yeah.
I think I was like 22.
Yeah, I would have been like, I was 17. I was about 17.
Yeah, how crazy to think that and we would be upstairs recording a podcast and all of this would have happened. I always say about Courtney that Courtney's like more than my friend, she's like my family, because I feel like we obviously went on TOWIE together and did that whole journey together, and that's one of those things that you'll never completely understand unless you do it.
Yeah.
And like everything that happens, and you know, everything that you go through and all the lessons you learn and the mistakes you make and whatever else, and me and Courtney did that together. We walked on the show together and we walked off the show together. Yeah. So I feel like we will always have that, and nobody, like, you know, I've got friends I've known my whole life and I love them dearly, but you know, like, nobody will ever understand what we went through together.
And I feel like it all started at that journey at Lux that night when we both had that breakup. Yeah. And we were going through that breakup together, and then it's just weird. I feel like our journeys aligned so well.
Yeah, it's
whatever
crazy.
Happens.
Yeah, we were supposed to meet. So Courtney will always be my special friend, but that is how we met. Do you want to? I'll pass you one. So
Some of them are really bloody weird, not going to lie. A lot about belly buttons. Why is everyone so obsessed with bloody belly buttons?
Because we did a whole episode on it. Oh, they asked us, oh, we can answer this one quickly. What kind of belly buttons? I've got an innie.
I've got an innie. Yeah. I actually like that. I've actually got a belly button piercing, which Callum was like, you literally look like a 13-year-old because I had, you know, when everyone had theirs done. Yeah.
My mum would never let me have mine done. And so I still, to this day, don't have one. There was lots about...
What about the school one? What was that one?
What were our school lives like? Is that what the question was? Yeah, there was lots about like our schools and what we studied and
what qualifications
sort of what we wanted to
we got.
Do. Yeah, what we wanted to do after school and that kind of things. So we can answer that. We can like, you can go first.
Okay, so qualification wise, I got, what was it? I got 2 Bs, 4 Cs, a D and an F.
I don't even remember. I say like literally like I got like 8 A's to C's or something. I just like really kind of round it up.
Because I was so proud of myself.
Oh, that's cute.
And I'll just never forget. Like, I thought I was going to fail every single bloody thing.
That's cute.
Yeah. So my mum was so proud of me. I failed science.
Yeah.
But who needs science?
You went to a good school though, didn't you?
Well, I went
KS
to...
KS is a good school.
I went to a Jewish school. Is it a good school? I don't really know. I feel like it's supposed to be like a...
Around our area, the Jewish schools and the Catholic schools are usually the kind of better schools than just like the regular, straight down the line.
What did you get all your GCSEs?
Yes, I got all my GCSEs. But what did I? Did I fail anything? I don't think I did. I think I got like a D or an E in IT or something like that. I was rubbish at IT.
I think I failed IT.
Yeah,
I just didn't like my teacher, so it made me fail.
Yeah, mine were all, and like I got A stars and stuff, but my A stars were in like drama, dance.
Yeah. My B was in media.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think I got like an A or a B in maths and yeah, sort of A, B and C's in most stuff. I was like kind of like middle of the park. Yeah, I went to school in West London actually, which is kind of always really strange. People are always like, what, why did you, you're on Towie, why did you go to school in West London? I went to school in West London, sort of like Chelsea way, which is kind of strange. It's like the enemies. I went to school there, and then after, I always wanted to my whole life, all I ever wanted to do was like perform, like musical theatre, acting. I loved all of that. That's all I ever wanted to do. And I studied all of that, and I went on to like a uni called Performers, which where you study like musical theatre and acting. And I always had like an acting agent, and I always done like little acting jobs and was always in shows and stuff like that. And that's always what I wanted to do. I was like literally like tunnel vision, like nothing else, didn't care about anything else. I loved musical theatre. I loved acting. I loved anything to do with performing. And then I was in my second year at Performers, and I was in a musical theatre class, and I dislocated my knee, ended up getting like in an ambulance, and I was in like a full leg cast. This was in my second year, and I stayed for a few months after that, but basically where I had to be in a full leg cast for like 8 weeks or something, and so I lost all of the muscle around my knee, so I couldn't, like when my cast came off I thought my leg would just be normal, but I couldn't bend it anymore where my leg had been straight for 8 weeks, and so I played like, I had to do like loads and loads of like intense physio, and I was just basically playing catch up after that. And all of the in schools like that, everyone's so talented, and you know, it moves so quickly, like people like get better and better, and I'd missed so much time that by the time I went back to it, like I was still there every day. I'd sit there every day with my cast on and watch all the classes, and I was still like involved, and I lived there as well. I lived at the uni, but yeah, it just was evident after a while when I got back into it, like I was just not the same, and everyone was like head and shoulders above me. And so I left in my second year, which absolutely crushed me, because obviously this accident happened and that. So that kind of was the dream of musical theatre over. And then I just went into straight acting. And I did straight acting for a really long time. And then I moved to Australia, and then I came back. I did acting in Australia, and I did acting when I came back here. And that was always the plan, was to be an actress. And then I got offered Towie. And I kind of knew, I was really hesitant, because I knew that going on Towie would close the door on acting forever, because I know that people, there's a stigma that comes with reality TV and Towie in particular. I feel like if you go on Love Island, you could do whatever you want, but
yeah,
you could be a pop star.
I think like Love Island and Towie are like a kind of similar reality.
Yeah, you would think
I think obviously Towie is a bit more structured, but I don't know why it should take away from you ever being an actress or ever being in film. Well, I think Lockie's going to be in a film.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, he's going to be in a film. So yeah, but I do think that there's like a massive stigma that comes with that, and I kind of knew that. But I do actually think things are changing now. When we first went on it, no one sort of like crossed the lines between like all different, like people wouldn't even like cross channels back in the day when we first went on. Like, so if you were on ITV, you wouldn't ever go on MTV. Like, you couldn't cross a channel. Whereas you can now, and things are sort of getting a bit more fluid and there's movement and moving around. But yeah, I kind of, when I accepted TOWIE, I was like just kind of sick of like, I was auditioning all the time. I was in lots of like adverts. A fun fact, before we were on TOWIE, I was on, so the first ever series of Love Island in like, whenever it was, 8 years ago or something. I was on the advert. So there was like, they're called idents. They're the little adverts that happen in between each break, you know, like that, like open up the show, like the show's sponsored by whoever. And I was on that advert. I was like the Love Island girl.
It was like a dating app, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Match.com. And I was on like the, and so every time it went to an advert, every time it came back from advert, every time the program started, it ended, there was me doing all these different, there was like loads of different things. So it was me doing that. Yeah, I did loads of stuff. I was on like a BlackBerry advert and The Sun, and I was on a bingo advert, Fabulous magazine. I did loads and loads of stuff back in the day. And yeah, that's always what I wanted to do. But I was sick of like auditioning and being like 6 months in work, 6 months out work. All my friends had like left uni and were getting proper jobs, and I was still working in a bar so that I could audition. And when I did get acting work, it was good money and it was great. But, you know, that's just, I think, the life of an actor is like in and out of work. And I was kind of sick of it. I got offered TOWIE and I just kind of thought, oh, do you know what? It would be nice to be earning money, knowing that it was closing the door on acting. But, you know, I still have an acting agent. So we still do bits. I still audition here and there. But yeah, that was kind of always my goal, was to do that. Like, that was, I kind of never had any other goal other than I wanted to be an actress.
See, I was completely different. So I had such a hard time at school. I had a lot of friends at school. I was like quite popular at school, but then there was girls in the year above me who weren't very nice to me, and I wanted to leave them. I wanted to leave my school so many times. Like, no one would believe me that I was having a hard time, because I was in the popular group at school, and I was like with the night, like the, I had did have loads of friends, and no one actually believed me when I told them like there was this girl in the year above me, and she would like take my bag and throw my bag out on the field, and she'd like spit at me.
Honestly,
and she'd like,
this is why I hate school. I'm so worried to send my children to school.
Like, I was literally like, I had PE, and then I had a bit of my belly showing because I like rolled my top up a bit. She'd be like, you're a slag, like calling me a slag. And then I'd go to like the sweet shop after school, and she'd spit at me, and like, she just really went for me anyway. And then obviously when you're 17, like, it was a known thing at my school, like everyone would get their first cars bought for them from their parents. It was like a known thing, and everyone would get like a Fiat 500 or whatever. And I was like lucky, like so lucky. I was so thankful that my parents got me like this brand new BMW, which was like no one would get that at my school. So I'd like drive my car to school, and people would like egg my car, like the kids at school. Yeah, it was horrible. Like, they'd even
just jealousy.
Yeah, they'd even come to my house and egg my car. We had to get cameras put at my house and stuff. Yeah. It was like awful.
What, they were in the people that were in the year above you?
People in the year above me. So that was like, I had a really shit time at school. I never really talk about it because I just kind of blank it out. Yeah. And I never talk about it because people don't, I feel like I'm like afraid that people won't believe me that this happened, that they would like talk down at me. But like,
yeah, I feel like lots of people think that like that though. They think that it's like, but it's worth talking about. You should.
I know.
I feel like lots of people at high school though had that kind of, I did. I had a rubbish, I went to a regular school in Woodford. Like, I don't know what you call it, like a state school, is that what you call it? Like, just like a school, a regular school. And I went for year seven, and I had a horrible time. I hated it. It was the school I went to, though, was really not good. It was kind of like either get bullied or become the bully. There was kind of like no in between. Mm. And everyone said, lots of my friends stayed on, and they say to me, you know, like, it got better. Like, as the years go on, it gets better, and you find your little place and your little like group of people, and you know, it gets better. I just had the awful, horrible year, and my dad pulled me out and sent me to this private school, and I ended up going to a little like tiny little private school that everyone was lovely and hugged each other and loved each other, and so I was really, really lucky. But it does worry me about like having children and sending my children to school.
It's literally awful. And I didn't tell my mum for ages because I was like, so embarrassed. I was like, oh, what if my mum doesn't believe me? But me and my mum went through this whole journey with me. Like, I went for an interview at Forest.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. For year nine, but I didn't get in because I wasn't clever enough.
Yeah, you have to take all the tests, don't
you?
Yeah,
I took all the exams, and I literally wasn't even scathing it. So I went for an interview at all these different schools, and my mum was like, just wait it out. Like, these girls are going to be leaving soon. Like, they're going to be in year 11, they're going to leave soon. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Waited it out. And then I went on to college. I just went to like an Essex college. I went to Effing College and I studied media.
Did you like it?
I loved college.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like amazing. I made, like, it was so weird because like we was in this class and I just bonded with this girl, Georgia, so much because she was a lot like me.
Yeah.
It was like everyone comes from, it's like loads of like different lives. Yeah. Like I was like in such a bubble at school and like I met all these like amazing people. I met this like one girl, Georgia, and we became really, really good friends and she like walked me through college basically.
Yeah, that's cute.
But I think like you're used to like making those different friends because you went from school to school to school.
Yeah, I did.
Whereas with mine, it's like everyone who went to my nursery went to the same primary school. Everyone who went to that primary school went to the high school. So yeah. I was in that bubble for my whole life. So to go to like college was so scary to make new friends.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I remember being like, I was like 12, 13 when I went to my new school. And it was in a different area as well. Like it was the other side of London. And I had this, you know, my accent, I obviously have a slight Essex twang and everyone at my school was like, spoke much better than I did. And I was from Essex and they called us Essex. Like there was a couple of us from Essex and they called us Essex and, you know, but not in a nasty way. They just called us that. So I remember on my first day, actually this boy, that's every now and then I still see him, called Rory, came up to me on my first day and he cuddled me and he was like, hey, nice to meet you. Mm. And I was like, oh, everyone's a lot friendlier here than they were at my old school.
Do you know what? It's actually traumatising going to new schools when you don't know anyone. Because I remember, like, after college, I then went on to university. Didn't think I would ever get into university.
But you did.
I had to have an in-place. I went to a specialist university, which specialises in media.
I think this is interesting. So tell people what you studied and what you were going to do.
So I studied at university, editing and post-production. So I was meant to be behind the camera
Courtney would have been like the crew behind the camera on
Towie. It's so funny to see. Like when I like talking about TV stuff, I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, because I studied it all. So to get into my university, you had to go through like a series of interviews because it was quite small. It was only about 80 people and like, yeah. So I like, blabbed my way through this interview, literally blabbed my way into it. He was like, asking me all these questions about these documents and all this stuff. And I had no idea. And I'd just make it up. I just sounded like I knew what I was talking about. And I was sweating. And I just think he liked the fact that I bullshitted my way into it. So I think that's why I got accepted, because he liked the fact that I bullshitted my way into that interview.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
So I went to university, but I only ended up doing a year and a half.
Yeah.
Because I really struggled. It was hard. Like the work was so, so hard. I'm not that academic. I'm more physically good at stuff.
Courtney always puts herself down and Courtney's always like, oh, I'm stupid. I'm like, you are not stupid. It's just, there's different kinds of intelligent. Do you know what I mean? Like there are just different kinds of intelligent and you are very intelligent in lots of ways. Like, so don't put yourself down. She always, it really annoys me. She's always I'm so stupid.
It's the coursework. Joe, it's the coursework. I'm not very good at spelling.
Yeah, but
that's my downfall.
That's what spell check's for, honey.
I know, but I'm really good at like, so I'd done editing. I was really good at editing, like putting clips together.
Yeah,
that was my strong point. But the writing was marking me down. I just thought, this, I'm going to end up getting into so much debt, not passing my university anyway.
Everyone's
so I might as well just
got uni
leave.
Debt, though, so it doesn't matter.
I'm still in fucking uni debt. You're lucky you didn't. Your dad paid for yours.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, my dad paid for mine. I was very, very lucky. So there's lots of questions, like about our school and what we studied and what we would do if we weren't on Towie. So, I would have, carried on probably acting. God knows what would have happened.
And I probably would have been working in TV still, but just not in front of the camera.
Yeah. So, that's kind of what we did. Yeah, but it's funny, isn't it? Lots of...
I would have been recording Chloe doing her acting stuff.
That would have been nice. There's lots of, like, any goals for 2022. Yes, I guess so. There's lots of like, as we mentioned earlier, a bad year for me, for Courtney, for lots of reasons, really. I had lots of very like down moments this year. So next year, I think I am, well, I'm excited to close the door on this year. Good riddance.
Made a pact that we're going to have like the best year, didn't we?
Yeah. And we need to just think as well. I'm very good at giving advice, but not taking it on myself. And I think that, I just need to like positive think. I need to, you know, think positive, think happy, believe good things are going to happen and they will happen. I think I very easily get myself into a rut of being like, oh, poor me, everything's rubbish, everything's crap, you know, my life is rubbish. Like, and realistically, it's not. And I need to start thinking like positive things and being really positive and just taking that into 2022.
Good things come to positive people.
Yeah, and honestly, like, and this is the first year, I feel like most New Year's people are like, oh, what are you gonna, you know, what's your goal for next year? And I never really have anything. I'm always just kind of like, oh, I don't know, maybe lose a bit of weight. I don't know. I never really have like these big ideas. But because I've had quite a down year, I think honestly next year I just want to be happy. I want to be so happy and I want to be in a good mindset and I want like to be really grateful for everything I've got and hopefully, you know, get something more things that make me happy and just stay in like a really, really positive mindset. I think this is the first year that I really that's really all I want for this year. I just want to be happy. I want to, you know, a few, it's really sad, but like a few years ago, I'd like just be at home pottering around and I was just happy. Like, I don't know. I was just happy all the time. I felt happy all the time.
Think the older you get, the more responsibilities you have, the more pressure you have. You do get a bit more.
You have to deal with
like,
it. Yeah.
Like when I was younger, when you were younger, you had nothing to worry about. Like, obviously you've got your house now, but like, I've got to save up to buy a house. Like, I've still got all this stuff to do.
Yeah, it is stressful. I get what you mean. Yeah, no, that's why you just got to be. It's very hard, to see the good things in your life when you're just constantly concentrating on the negatives. And I need to stop doing that and concentrate on the positives. And I just think it's just this year. Like, you know, I turned 30, and I think that I was on Christmas Day when I was having my Christmas Day breakdowns of I was stuck indoors and stuff, and had this horrible year and. I don't know. I feel like I've just been looking back and been like, wow, I really didn't do with my life what I thought I was going to do. And I think that that's really hit me this year. I think it's the turning 30 thing. I don't know. I really haven't done what, you know, my life really hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to. Don't get me wrong. It worked out with Touchwood. It's working out with George and it's great and stuff. But when it comes to like my career and everything, like I just said, like with the whole acting thing and everything, and just, I don't know, I always thought I'd have this like huge great career, and I don't know, and it just, yeah, my life has just not worked out the way I wanted it to, and it's very much hit me in 2021 that is, and I think that's my main thing of like feeling sad. That's why I feel sad. I think, wow, realistically, like, and I've achieved great things, I've done amazing things, and so I shouldn't be so hard on myself, but yeah, I just feel like I should have done more.
I feel like I'm saying you are extra hard on yourself, but we're both extra hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're doing things to like turn it around. You know, we're concentrating on things that make us happy.
Yeah.
And next year, everything's going to go right for us.
It is. This is the mentality.
And we need all of you to put it in the air as well, that everything is going to go right for us as well. And we will put it out there for you guys as well.
We're sitting here, you know, we're so lucky we've filmed this podcast and it's done so much better than we ever thought. It's amazing. Like, it's going so great and it's so amazing. And I am really, really thankful for stuff like that. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Life has just not turned out the way I thought it would, which is, I think when you're younger.
Joe, we all live in a dream world. We all have this idea in our head that we're going to have this fairy tale life. And it just doesn't happen for everyone. But it will happen in our own ways. The fairy tale will happen in our own ways and it will come when we're ready for it. Joe, what it is, the universe isn't putting it in our lives because we're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Once we're really happy in our lives, it will all fall into place.
It's true, and I tell people this all the time. Right, let me move on to find another question. There's lots of let's move away from tarot. We talked about tarot. How can I make myself feel better after leaving an abusive relationship? That's quite far off of us. Courtney, I feel like you have been in a relationship that's been quite mentally abusive.
It was a mental abusive relationship, not so much physical. So what I had done when I was in that relationship, especially, I made sure that I would call my friends and not bottle in how I'm feeling, because as soon as I got that out, I felt so much better, because I'd be like, I'd tense up and I'd feel like stress, and then I'd call Chloe, I'd be like, I'd get it all out and I'd feel like 100 times better.
It took you a long time to get back to yourself as well after
really
that.
It really did.
You kind of really lost yourself in that. But I think that's okay. I think you can like lose yourself in that. I think, you know,
But you've just got to get out. Yep. Honestly, I didn't particularly want to spend money, but I'd just go shopping and just look in the shops because it would keep your mind busy.
Yeah, that's
for
your
a bit.
Happy place shopping.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I'd like go and get my hair done. I'd go get it coloured. I'd go get it blow dried.
Yeah,
I'd get my nails done. Anything to make me feel a bit better.
Yeah,
and it does really help.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you've got to concentrate on you and you've got to learn to love yourself and all that kind of stuff. But I also think I know that the biggest advice to people when they're going through sort of heartbreak, like general heartbreak, not necessarily an abusive relationship, but is usually like stay busy, stay really busy. And from personal experience, I did that and I would be busy every night. I'd be out somewhere with one of my friends doing God knows what, like just making myself busy. I never wanted to be at home because when you go home, that's when you've got to face the fact that you are on your own.
And you've got so much thinking time.
Yeah, but actually, I think, you know, stay busy, but like in a healthy way, like, you know, plan like a night out a week and one dinner with your friend, and you don't have to be out every single night of the week, because I think eventually you are going to have to go home and eventually that's going to stop.
Yeah, because you're better off to start the grieving process straight away.
Yeah,
grieve like for 2 weeks, grieve, cry, call your friends up, cry, and then after them 2 weeks, finished, done.
Yeah,
you're out, you're getting your hair done, you're getting your makeup done, you're going out, you're going for dinners, and then you won't see that grieving period again.
Yeah, you've got to learn to be on your own again, and that's really hard, because when I've gone through breakups, the hardest thing is learning to just sit and like watch TV on my own. Like, and I know that sounds really stupid, but it feels like such a big thing. Like, you know, you're sort of have got to get used to your own company again, and you have to find a place, and you will, and you'll get to that place of finding like being very comfortable on your own again, and then all of a sudden someone else will pop up. There's always a way. But I think, yeah, I just distract yourself at home, you know, get into a good series. The best thing that I thought was for me going through breakups was reading a book. Because reading a book, you can't be like watching TV, you can look at your phone still and you can distract yourself. You can't look at your phone while you're reading a book. So you were like fully like in this book. You were completely immersed in this book and this story. And I think that is the best way to like focus your brain, is like to be on a book. Put your phone away. Phones are so unhealthy. I've said it so many times and I genuinely believe that. Put your phone away, stop searching for things, and just learn to be on your own. And it will be hard at first, but then you'll grow to absolutely love it and you'll love being on your own. So I think that's the best advice I could give.
And one more other thing that I done, I would write a letter of how I'm feeling to my ex. I'd write a letter of everything, how I'm feeling, like, you made me feel like this, you made me feel like that, this is that. And I'd keep it for like a couple of days, and every time I felt sad, I'd read over it and realise what was wrong with the relationship, what he'd done. And then when I was over it, I'd burnt the letter. And then I closed the book and I just thought, honestly, it worked. It was the weirdest thing. I remember I had this note and I think it was like, you or Madison that came in my room. It might have been Madison. And I was sitting on my window ledge and I was just crying my eyes out. And like Madison walked in. She was like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I wrote a letter.
I'm writing letters.
I was like, I write a letter. She was like, well, you're not sending it to him. I was like, okay, I won't send it to him, but I just need to read it to remind myself like why we're not together.
Yeah, it's true. You've got to be like completely like, you've got to feel all the emotions. Like someone said once to me, there's that quote, isn't there? It's something like, you have to feel everything so much that you basically drown. You're drowning, basically. You need to drown to be able to float again. You have to sink to be able to come back up again. You have to drown in those emotions and eventually you will float.
Yeah.
Like, and you will come back out of it. Like, but you have to immerse yourself in all of these emotions and you have to feel them all and go through them all. You can't just ignore it and go out every night and ignore it, because I promise you, eventually you'll have to go home and face the music. So.
Yeah, that's why you do maximum 2 week grieving period and then it's done, you're out.
Yeah, well, I think you don't have to put a time limit on it. If you feel like 3 weeks is good, then go with 3 weeks. Yeah, I think I do think that if you just do it straight away, then you'll be fine. Should we answer one more? I think we've probably got time for one more. Do you want to do one?
Okay. I chose that one. I will give it a little look. I think this is, I've noticed this about us again, but I guess this is what is about us. How do you stay such good friends?
How do we stay such good friends?
So, obviously me and Chloe have been friends a long time. We've been through a lot, which could which could have broken our friendship up many a times.
They gave it a good go.
They did really give it a good go. But I think the thing is we care about each other so much. Like when Chloe's upset, I'm upset. Like if I was to do something that like pissed Chloe off, like it'd really affect me. Like it would really upset me. Like I think we was on one of our traveling trips and we had a little argument. Do you remember?
No.
And then we had a little bit at each other a bit, and then I got really upset. I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Like, can we be nice again? Like, I feel like we've never really had like a full blown.
No,
argument.
We've bickered. Me and Courtney we spend a lot of time together. Like then we've been on like lots of like 3 week traveling trips, and we are on top of each other. And obviously, you know, we work together and we're friends. So we spend a lot of time together. So you know, we do sometimes bicker, but I think that's only natural. It only ever lasts like a few minutes. It's never long. Yeah, I don't know. I think like earlier, like we said, like you're kind of like my special friend, and there's some things that I feel that only Courtney would understand. I could talk to my other friends until I'm blue in the face about them, but they won't necessarily, even George, like I can talk to George about some things, but he just won't get it. You know, like there are just some things that he just won't get. But because we go through the same thing, you know, if I might be talking, moaning to George about something that's going on Towie, he just doesn't get it. Like, George will go to me, oh, why don't you just call him see you next Tuesday? And I'm like, well, George, it doesn't really work like that. I can't actually do that. He's like, why don't you just, he just doesn't get it. Do you know what I mean? He just doesn't understand. And I think, I don't know how, I've chewed his ear off about it for years and years, but he still just doesn't get it. Or like he'll be like, go to the HR department. Yeah, there's not a HR department.
There's no HR department.
This doesn't work like that. And so only Courtney would understand certain things as well. So I feel like we have that special bond. I think that's always sort of helped.
We like open up to each other. So like any little thing that goes on in our lives, we know each other. We know the hard times we've had. We know the good times we've had. And I just feel like sometimes if something annoys me, and I just be like, oh, Chloe, like this is really annoying me. We're both very understanding.
Yeah, I think
and
we are.
We don't particularly want to annoy each other or piss each other off or hurt each other. So that's why I think we're quite understanding. And if like we do have a disagreement, either one of us back down anyway, because we just don't want to argue with each other.
Yeah, we're just not like that. I mean, we've got we've had other friends and stuff that are sort of. There are some people in life that are kind of difficult to be friends with, and I think that as you grow up you kind of just don't bother being friends with them anymore, and that kind of changes. But yeah, me and Courtney are very similar in the sense that we're both quite laid back.
Yeah, we're quite chill.
We're both very laid back. Nothing like bother. It's not like I've had friends that it's like walking on eggshells being friends with them, like you're going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And yeah, it's just never been like that with me and you, has it? We're both kind of quite relaxed and just kind of chilled out, so it just kind of works.
I know.
Nothing. It takes a lot for one of us to get like really wound up. I think for one of us to get like proper pissed off.
Yeah,
it takes quite a lot.
Only when you don't reply back to me.
Yeah, Courtney gets.
I mean, I message. Can I just say, if we're going to argue, it's going to be now. I messaged Chloe right last night. A really nice message. I was like, can we do a trip this year? Like, I really want to go on holiday.
Oh wait, I was out drunk. This is not fair.
But you replied back in the friend group. You replied back in our bloody group chat in Groovy Gang.
I'm drunk. I feel like when I'm drunk, I'm just not.
Was you drunk this
phone.
Morning?
No, I wasn't, but I knew I was going to see you today again.
Well, you heard it here, guys. That was our first argument.
But yes, we can do a trip this year. Let's plan a trip.
Please.
Let's do something. Yes, 100%.
We'll Why don't you guys send us suggestions where we should go this year?
Yeah.
Travel trip.
Yeah, where do you think we should go? We've done quite a lot of, like, we've done the Vegas, we've done LA.
We've done Sri Lanka.
Yeah, we've done Thailand.
We haven't really done Europe. We've done Spain.
Yeah, we've been to Marbella, Ibiza.
We've done the whole of Spain. But we could do like Italy or France.
We can go anywhere you want. Maybe we should go to the south of France.
Yeah. On a boat. On a yacht.
Oh, wow. Wow. You paying for the yacht?
No.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, no, but we can do a trip this year, Courtney. Okay, that's kind of all we've got time for this week. But thank you. We kind of just answered your questions and talked about awful COVID Christmas.
And next week, we'll probably get a guest on.
Yeah, we've only got a few more left, guys, until it's the end of the series. So please write in with anything you would like us to talk about or anything you'd like us to cover or questions you have for us, anything at all, always let us know. And yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and hope stay healthy.
This is going to be a good new year, guys. I can tell.
We're putting it out there. We're all going to have the best year.
Yeah, let's be positive. It's going to be much better than the last two. We're going to come out of all of this COVID stuff and everything's going to be amazing and perfect and wonderful. So I'm putting it out there. It's going to be a great new year.
Everyone's dreams are going to come true.
And thank you for listening for us this year as well. We've still got a few more left this series, but thank you for listening to us this year. It means a lot. It's meant a lot more to us than probably you know.
Honestly, it's mental.
So yeah, amazing. So happy new year. Enjoy your first days of the new year.
Mwah! Mwah.